Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Valley Now. My name is Jordan Moreno, and this week we are going west. Yes, a whole episode dedicated to the West Valley, which is absolutely booming, by the way. And today I'm joined by Cintra Hoffman. She's Westmark's president and CEO, but really she's a community leader. She's been one for over 20 years, and I feel like you're the OG of the West Valley. Good morning.
Good morning, Jordan, and thanks for having me on and letting me talk about my favorite topic, the West Valley. And yes, it's so funny. We just wrapped up another meeting and I was talking about just being able to answer questions. And sometimes I find myself going, why do I know this? I feel really old, but I like OG better.
You can take it and run with it. Well, first, tell me about you. You have such a vast background, both on state and federal government levels, but I'd love to just kind of hear your journey and a little bit more about you as a person.
So I was actually born in the Caribbean. I was born in Trinidad. I migrated to the United States when I was 5 years old. I grew up in New York, so New York is home to me. I think it's really shaped who I am and how I operate. And then my first husband was in the Air Force, so I had the opportunity to live not only in several parts of the country, but then also in Germany and travel overseas. And I think that also made me who I am today in terms of being able to jump into any area and just be really resilient and go with the flow. Then I moved to Arizona in 1999, and I started my first job here at the City of Surprise. I was assistant to the city manager and government relations director, and then deputy city manager, where I managed economic development projects, both commercial and residential, and so for a 10-year period. And then I joined ADOT and worked on, obviously, transportation projects all around the state. So back when I was in Surprise, one of my key projects was working on the Loop 303. So it's definitely still a point of pride for me when I drive that freeway. Then when I went to ADOT, I worked on projects across the state, and I was there for close to 7 years, and then joined Westmark in 2016. And I've been at Westmark over 7 years now. So I think the culmination of my background working in city government, working in policy development, economic development, and then transportation and infrastructure projects has really primed me for this role as Westmark's CEO, because our focus is economic development and policy development. And I'll get a little bit further into that, but I'll take a breath and see if you want to know anything about that, about my background.
No, a very interesting background. But now in your role as Westmark CEO, there's 15 communities that you say it's 15 communities, one workforce, it's 3,000 square miles that we know and love and call the West Valley. That's a huge undertaking. Tell me about Westmark.
Westmark was created in 1990 to really put the West Valley on the map and to do kind of a combination of those two things that we still do today is policy advocacy and economic development. Overall, we want to make sure that the West Valley is a vibrant community. It is, like you say, it's pretty big. It's over 3,000 square miles, a population of 1.8 million residents. Very diverse. It's 15 communities. We say 15 communities, one voice, or 15 communities, one workforce, depending on, you know, the messaging that we're delivering. But, you know, when you look at the West Valley, and the landmass and the population numbers and the breakdown of our population, we're really a lot bigger than, you know, the Denver metro area. Some of the other major markets that we're competing against for jobs and new companies, we're larger than that area. So it's exciting to be responsible for an area that large and to work with the leaders and community members, making sure that this community progresses in the area and attracts the jobs that we're all looking for. And I describe my foundation working with the City of Surprise because we do work with 15 communities. And what I found is a lot of the people that I worked with back when I was in Surprise, they are either still in Surprise and we're working together, or they're in different communities and we're still working together. So it is that foundation of relationships and respect that I think we all have for one another with that common goal and achieving that common goal overall.
Do you find that with 15 communities, I'm sure they each kind of have their own quirks and their own niches?
Yes, definitely. And so I say, you know, we're 15 communities, one voice, but each community has their unique attributes. And so the best part of my job is being able to take those, you know, positive attributes and speak about them and share that message. And a lot of folks will say, wow, 15 communities, how do you get them all on the same message?
Right.
And it's easier than you think, because again, you find what all of the communities want to achieve, which is, you know, quality jobs, quality education, quality of life amenities for their residents. And everyone has the best interest of the residents in mind. So you take a handful of those, you know, key elements and you work towards them. So while, you know, entertainment in Glendale is going to be different than entertainment in Wickenburg, but they all have that same underpinning of, I want the best for my residents. I want my residents to come out and have a great time, whether it be at a football game or at the Desert Museum, whether it's experiencing the culture of Wickenburg, you know, horseback riding, you know, all the natural aspects of the mountains in Buckeye to, you know, NASCAR racing in Avondale. I think every community has something for their residents. And I think that's why we're such a rich community, is that we benefit from one another's assets. So, you know, I might feel like, you know, going up to Wickenburg and spending the day a little bit more laid back, enjoying the historical culture of Arizona and, you know, a day out on the trails, you know, versus, you know, a Wickenburg resident says, hey, I want to catch that race this weekend, or I want to catch a spring training game in one of these different communities that have spring training sites. So I think we're also trying to bring in residents, or we're trying to bring in tourists, but there's so much here that our residents benefit from within just, you don't even have to go east of I-17 to enjoy a variety of amenities.
And we were talking about earlier, those themes that kind of were ever present was, one was economic growth. Another one that I thought was interesting was harnessing young talent. And then the third was quality of life. Can you dive into each of those a little bit? Not that I am an economist whatsoever, but it is fascinating to me because I think it's changed so much even over the course of the last decade.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things, you know, a couple of decades ago when I first moved to Arizona and to the West Valley, I think the state overall had a perception of being a retirement state. Mm-hmm. And definitely the West Valley had that perception of being a retirement community. And, you know, even 20 years ago, it really was evolving quickly. I would say the first kind of, you know, decade of the millennium, we saw a drive to qualify community. You know, we had a lot of starter homes. And from that 2000 to 2010 timeframe, we saw a lot of families move to the area. But in the second decade of the millennium, what we saw was more executive housing being built, more jobs coming to the region, more school choice coming to the region, and more higher education opportunities. So we created this program called West Valley Emerging Leaders. And the intent behind it is to we were attracting the families. We had a much younger demographic than people thought. We knew we were not a retirement community by the numbers. 64% of our population is actually workforce age. We have a much younger community, and more residents that have grown up here. Like my daughter, for example, we moved to when she was 5 years old. She's now 28 years old, and she's still living and working and going to school in the West Valley. So, you know, and she's kind of, you know, an older young talent, right? Because she's now she's in her late 20s. So we look at the people that are living here right now, but we also work with the Center for the Future of Arizona. And they did a deep dive a number of years ago and found out that in Arizona, you have people that are growing up in the state, staying in the state, but right around the age of 35, they start leaving. So our quest is to find out, why are they leaving? Are they leaving for different jobs? Are they leaving for promotions? Are they leaving for the education situation in Arizona because they have young kids that they want to to be in different schools elsewhere? But why are they leaving? So we started this program last year called West Valley Emerging Leaders. And the intent of it is really to identify, it's a nomination process where anyone can nominate a resident that lives and works in the West Valley that are under the age of 40. And the intent of it is, again, to identify these young leaders, young emerging leaders, identify who they are, what they're doing, how they're contributing to the economy, and highlight them. You know, get them out there, get them out there on social media, get them out there within their organizations, so that they are retained, their talent is retained, they feel value. You know, a lot of us that have been in the business for a while, you know, we're the ones that are still winning awards and still being recognized, and that's awesome. But it's really more important to me to make sure that we're identifying these younger folks and you know, giving them their niche in the community so that they replace us at some point, and they're the ones kind of carrying that torch. So that really is the intent of the Emerging Leader Program. And it's open to anyone under the age of 40 that, again, lives and works in the West Valley and, you know, is contributing.
Do you have any of that data in terms of why folks at the age of 35 tended to leave, or what their driving forces were? And I'm sure you're making strides to combat that.
So that's what we're trying to extract through focus groups with these leaders. In the past, when we've brought these groups together and, you know, we've asked them, you know, what is it? You know, what do you like here? What don't you like here? Mm-hmm. They love the weather, which is really surprising.
Yeah.
Last year, at the end of the year, we brought together four of the nominees all year long for this program. And we had it moderated by a younger person. And two of the three panelists were transplants to Arizona. So two of the three younger talent people that were on that, or emerging leaders that were on that panel, had actually moved from out of state and they moved to Arizona, and they said it was because of the weather. That shocked me.
We spend so much time complaining about it.
Yeah. Or again, you know, you think, well, it's only the retirees that are moving here for the weather. No, it's the younger people. And so they moved here because of the weather. They moved here because of quality jobs. They moved here because of opportunity. They moved here because of affordability, which obviously we also need to make sure that we're keeping that in mind as we become that higher end quality community. We also need to make sure that we're having a diverse mix of housing and opportunities for all groups to participate in and to be productive members of our economy, in our economy. The other reason that they're moving here, or what they're looking for, is they're looking for more entertainment. So Westgate's a great option. Westgate's very well branded, very well known. But if you, and we're starting to drill into, with some of our other initiatives, we're starting to drill into some of these micro entertainment centers in these other communities. So I can go down the list. If I look at Avondale, Avondale's creating the Boulevard. And that is also an area of restaurants and entertainment. GSQ in Goodyear. Buckeye has Verado Marketplace. And up the hill, they have the Vic Restaurant. Surprise has Villages at Rosada. Talked a little bit about Wickenburg and kind of their downtown area. Peoria has multiple areas. P83, Stadium Point, Trailhead, the Four Corners at Lake Pleasant Parkway, and then up north, an emerging community, 5 North. So there's so many different areas that we have within our communities that people, again, when you look at 3,000 square miles, it's big. So when you think, okay, the West Valley, Wickenburg residents can hang out in Westgate. They don't want to hang out in Westgate necessarily every night, you know, or residents in Goodyear can hang out in this part of the area. No, they want to hang out in GSQ. So I think these micro areas that are really emerging is what's going to keep that younger talent close to home.
I really like that. And my husband and I have had conversations because we spend a lot of time in Denver. And we've had conversations how just even culturally, that was something that was kind of missing for a long time is kind of the downtowns within your own neighborhood and the downtowns within your own communities across Phoenix, I would say East Valley, West Valley. And within the last 5 years, we've made leaps and bounds towards creating that. But I have a young family, you know, I'm kind of that perfect demographic of, I want things that are close to me. You know, I want things that are convenient. I don't want to drive an hour to a park for my son. You know, it's, we want things that are close, but then also that feel a little bit more of that downtown feel that I'm keeping that fun element of my life and that fun period of life. I still want to maintain that too and have that feeling. So I love that that's such a big push for each individual community too. And quality of life. So what does the average family living in the West Valley look like now? And how has that shifted over time? You mentioned the retirees. What other stereotypes are present that Westmark's helping to break?
I think that some of these stereotypes, in addition to having a retiree-based community, is also having lower income community. And that is absolutely not the case. There's so much wealth in the West Valley. But, you know, I heard a few years ago, I was talking to a member in banking, and they refer to the West Valley as a quiet wealth. And I love that term.
Yeah.
It's not a flashy community, right? So we don't have that brand of being really flashy, like a Scottsdale or, you know, a Paradise Valley or something like that. That's fine. You know, that's not who we are. That's not who we want to be. Yeah. We take a lot of pride on being that open community, that community that we've known each other for a long time. We support one another. There are more neighborhood events and things like that. So I say there's a number of demographics that make up the West Valley. We talked about the younger families that now have maybe even, you know, the older kids like I do. So that second gen, third gen that's happening in the West Valley. I describe, you know, you described me as the OG before. I describe the West Valley in three phases, where we have the OG, the farmers, and that was the original West Valley. And then we had the drive to qualify. And now we have that quality community West Valley. So when I look at some of the demographics in Arrowhead, in Litchfield Park, in Peoria, North Peoria, Estancia, Blackstone area, Verado, Astoria Mountain Ranch, Marley Park, Sterling Grove in Surprise, Wickenburg Ranch. I mean, I could just keep going on, but there are demographics that are average household income is above 100,000 a year and well above 100,000 a year, 120, 140,000 in some of those pockets. That doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, every community has that range of income. So our average household income overall in the West Valley is close to 80,000 annually. However, again, when you look at those pockets in each of those communities that have executive level housing, that have all of the amenities that people aren't necessarily thinking about, they do exist there. I think some of the outward things that came out that really helped with the branding or helped people see that other side of the demographic that they weren't necessarily thinking about is when we looked at all the luxury dealers, car dealerships that came in and located in along the Loop 101. You know, you've got Range Rover, you've got Jaguar, you've got BMW, Mercedes is along Bell Road. So when you start looking at the luxury dealerships, and I always say this, you look at the cars around. I always drive into a neighborhood, you know, whenever I was house hunting, I was looking cars in that neighborhood. And so I always say this, right. Our quiet wealth, we don't wear it on our sleeve, but just pay attention to some of the cars that are driving around the area. There's definitely money in the West Valley.
And I think that you're a prime example of the importance of community and really putting your roots down into the ground and growing with the community, being part of it. You sit on a large number of boards. Is it seven?
Something like that.
Can you speak to the importance of community in your life? You know, for you as an individual, you're running Westmark, but so much more too. You can list off those boards. Tell me a little bit more about them, but how does that enrich your experience living in the West Valley and living in Phoenix in general?
I do serve on a number of boards, kind of in three different areas: education, natural environment, and infrastructure. I feel that those boards all relate to not only my personal values and my personal, likes and interests, but then clearly, obviously, they benefit the work that I do at Westmark. Education and infrastructure, I think those are really the foundation to economic development and to community. When I moved to Arizona in 1999, there were very few choices for education that my daughter had at the time. When I look at how that has evolved today, not only in terms of the number of high-performing K-12, both public and private schools that we have, but also the number of higher education opportunities we have in the West Valley. Today, we're about 25 or so post-secondary education facilities. Back when I moved to Arizona, it was less than 10. I would say it was less than five. ASU had a big name. GCU was, getting off the ground. You had the community colleges, but it's not where we are today, where we have Ottawa University in Surprise, Franklin Pierce University in Goodyear. So there's so many more of that right now. And so the more our education expands, the more our businesses are going to expand. Because again, we spent a number of years working on workforce development because we know that companies make their decisions based on having a talented workforce in place. So if we want to grow our businesses, if we want to grow our industries to support, to have jobs for our residents and support and grow our economy, we really need to be making that investment in education. And it's not only higher ed, it starts at the foundation. So organizations like First Things First, organizations like New Pathways for Youth that help at-risk youth, just all of those things that really kind of assist kids as they're going through their development stage, early reading programs, things like that. It's so important to have. And although my daughter is older, I know the value of making sure that we're investing in education now because we're investing in our future because we're all going to get old, right?
And it unfortunately.
But it all comes down to who's going to be taking care of us in the future. A number of years ago, there was that whole, again, negativity around the retirement community that they don't want to invest in education. And they didn't. And maybe they still don't. But my job and my goal is to show why we should invest. Because, again, you look around at the people that, and my parents are in their 80s. So I'm seeing this constantly when we go for care for them. Mm-hmm. Guess what? It's the people that are younger than I am that are caring for them. So it really is that investment that we need to make. So that's why I do serve on a lot of education boards. The other board that I serve on is the I-11 Coalition. I-11 is Interstate 11, which is a future interstate that will be built connecting Phoenix to Las Vegas, but more importantly, extending south of Phoenix into down to the border of Mexico. So it really is a statewide trade corridor that transfers, goods from, all the way from Mexico into the northern states into Canada. So it really is that Canada-Mexico freeway corridor, trade corridor. So that's important to me, not only because of my time and knowledge at ADOT, but I've always believed infrastructure is the backbone to economic development. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, a point of pride is when I drive along Loop 303, because I worked on that project years ago when it was just a two-lane road. I mean, it was two lanes, one in each direction with stop signs all the way through. And now it's, you know, it's a six-lane freeway. And all of the businesses that have located along the Loop 303, the car dealerships, the retail projects, again, going into TSMC, TSMC would not have located in Arizona or in this area had there not been a location with freeway access to along the Loop 303 to I-17, to the airport, to trade in west of us. So, you know, freeway investment is really the backbone to economic development. And then I serve on the White Tank Mountains Conservancy Board, and the White Tank Mountains is one of the five Maricopa County parks, and there's a tremendous natural habitat and value, hikers and all of that. There's a lot of recreation value in that park. I'm a fitness buff, and I believe in taking care of yourself now, so that there's less care on the back end of the 60, if you will. So I'm an avid hiker, and so I'm on that board. So I think a lot of the boards that I serve on, again, not only fit where I think we need to be focused on and marketing about the West Valley, but also fit my personal values.
You've got so much going on and such a staple in the West Valley. So thank you for everything that you've done thus far. Even, you know, it just must feel iconic to be able to see the 303 grow, to be able to see the West Valley grow. Dare I ask, what's next? What does the future hold for you?
Oh my goodness. I think the future for the West Valley is really in technology. We are a tech forward community. And there's a number of things that we're doing in that space. A number of years ago, we started working with an organization called West Valley Innovation Alliance. And the intent there was to identify the IT startups and potentials that we have in the West Valley and bring those companies together and bring resources and venture capitalists together to help expose them to these opportunities and help grow them. And when we looked at the map prior to the pandemic, we had two lone companies kind of in the Northwest Valley area. When we look at that today, it's grown by 38% in just a 3-year period. Mm-hmm. That's huge. We know we've also seen clearly an influx of residents from California that bring with them their skills. Sure, a lot of people complain that they bring some traffic with them.
And inflation whatever else other people complain about.
You know, there's been all that. I also look at it as the skill sets that they bring, and they are bringing those skills in the IT space and the technology space. So we have now the opportunity to really add to our workforce. And again, going back to when we started working on this workforce initiative a number of years ago, it was to show companies that we have the talent living here. 36% of healthcare workers of all healthcare workers in all of Maricopa County live in the West Valley. So that's more than a third of the share if you break the valley down in kind of three areas, east, west, and kind of that central core. So our goal is, again, if we market our talent as that business attraction tool, we'll be pulling in those types of companies. Today, obviously, TSMC is making a $40 billion investment in the West Valley. And not only is it their investment, but it's that supply chain that comes along with it. It's also ASU making an investment in expanding ASU West Campus to accommodate those types of professions, more technology-based, more engineering-based. So it's all of those other, you know, trickle impacts that are happening in the West Valley as a result of technology. The pandemic clearly told us we need technology to survive. But again, it's also helped us bring those people in with the ability to work remotely today. So some of the crazy things that we're thinking of is really going into the metaverse. And, you know, that's a little bit of a virtual reality, far out there concept, but not really. What we're doing with the virtual reality initiative is focusing it on economic development, focusing it on restaurant attraction, entertainment attraction, so that, again, you know, you tend to think of Westgate and the West Valley, but that's about it. Whereas what we're going to be down the road giving brokers and others and investors the opportunity is to experience different areas, say for example, GSQ in Goodyear, the opportunity to see right now, if they look at it, they'll see some office buildings, but they won't see the restaurants that are already penned and going to be coming out of the ground. So they can't really visualize what that is going to look like or feel like for them. Same thing at the Boulevard in Avondale. There's a lot of activity happening. But if you're looking to attract some restaurants through virtual reality, we can give them that experience of seeing their place in that development. So that's something that we're looking at bringing in. So overall, it really is being tech forward.
Well, I'm very excited for the future of the West Valley, the way that it's booming. Cintra, thank you so much for your leadership and everything that you've done to get us this far. So I'm excited for what the future holds for everybody in Phoenix. Where can listeners learn more?
Listeners can learn more about Westmark through first our website, westmark.org. And if you look on all the tabs, there's so much stuff happening in the West Valley. And so just kind of thumb through, there's a lot of information on there. Follow us on social media. We are on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram. So we're on all of the platforms. So follow us on social media. And then, you know, when you go to our website, check out our events, because we have 9 special events throughout the year, and they revolve around either fun or learning topics. You know, we just had our economic development summit in May, and that was focused on the hottest topic around right now, which is water. And so on our website, we have our webinars that we will conduct a webinar. If you've missed it, we put the recording on there so you're able to catch up and see what you've missed over the last year. So there's really a lot happening in the West Valley, and we bring all of this information to investors, to residents, to economic development groups, to developers through our website, through webinars, through our special events, and through social media. So you can always find us on one of those platforms.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Jordan. It really was a pleasure meeting with you and sharing my favorite topic, the West Valley. And I appreciate the opportunity to share this, because the more I can share, the more I get people interested in looking this way.
The OG.
All right, I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio, with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.